Hello and welcome to the Asia Business First podcast. I'm Adam Bhaktia.
And I'm Julie Yu. Wow, Adam, what a week it has been.
Julie, the build-up all week long to this inter-Korean summit was absolutely tremendous, culminating on that special day on Friday. Mm. And just seeing those images of Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in stand at that the DML line mm-hmm. and cross over it was tremendous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's talking about breaking major barriers when it comes to geopolitics, and it's been a big issue in the Korean Peninsula, right? Of course, the other big story, speaking of breaking barriers, was the cabinet reshuffle here in Singapore as part of 66-year-old Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong's plan for political transition to the next generation of leaders. Two-thirds of the government ministries will be led by younger ministers.
That's right, and more women in the cabinet. The senior minister of state for law and finance, Indrani Raja, will be promoted to full minister come May 1st, and that brings the total number of women ministers in Singapore to 3.
Well, it's the largest number of women ministers ever in Singapore, and of course it comes in the wake of Madam Halimah Yacob becoming Singapore's first female president, right?
Well, it's wonderful to see women making progress in the political sphere here in Singapore, but it's still 3 out of 20 or so members of the cabinet, and experts are maintaining that more can be done to boost female representation, not only in politics, but also in corporate boardrooms and in workplaces as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a report out released this week, in fact, on gender parity by global management consulting firm McKinsey & Company, and they ranked Singapore as number 3 out of 18 countries in the Asia-Pacific region when it comes to gender equality. Quality of work, and that's after the Philippines and New Zealand.
Yeah, and just looking at our newsroom, Adam, it does seem to be quite evenly balanced between, you know, men and women, and I'm proud to say that our Media Corp CEO is, you know, a woman herself.
That's right.
But I'm guessing this might not be typical for all industries and sectors. So how far have you come, and what more can be done to eliminate barriers that hinder progress for women here in Singapore? To tell us more, we are joined by Junie Fu. She is the chair and co-founder of Board Agenda. It's an initiative to create awareness on the economic benefits of having more women on boards, and it emphasizes the importance of building a pipeline for senior women leadership positions.
Besides being a champion for women, Junie is also a trailblazer in her field. She's smiling there. With close to 30 years' experience in banking and finance in Tokyo and throughout the region, she was, in fact, the first non-Japanese woman in the management team for the Japanese financial institution here in Singapore. Junie, thank you very much for joining us here today discuss, you know, gender equality in the workplace and perhaps also government. I just want to start off with a quick question. I mean, so you were a non-Japanese working for several years in a Japanese company, heading that here. You know, what was it like for a woman breaking into an industry that until today is still so dominated by men? And what was it like in sort of breaking down the barriers of gender inequality and also perhaps even cultural ones?
I think for me, there were two obstacles. First, I wasn't a Japanese and I'm a woman, I'm female. So for them as well, they had to accept me and they had to become suddenly aware of this difference.
Was there friction in the beginning when you joined?
No. I'm very harmonious.
Okay. Well, it may not be on your part.
Correct.
I'm just saying,
yes.
You know, in a male-dominated industry, maybe the males might not have accepted.
Yes. So I think they were not prepared, or they were not trained as to how to deal with someone mm-hmm. who's probably better or more experienced. And so I had a few incidents where I had to tell them, look, you know, I'm going to be here, I'm here to stay, so we got to do something about working together. Mm. So I had to have hard conversations.
But you were in the management team for a while. Do you think you were recognized for what you did on the equal footing and paid fairly compared to your male counterparts, if you think back?
Yes, because I think I had a very enlightened boss. So at the end of the day, it's the boss or the person, the organization can enable women to succeed. I think in Singapore, we fare very well in terms of gender equality in the workforce because we have policies put in place, flexi working hours. But then it really depends on us. Firstly, the women themselves, Are you going to take that option of going on flexi but still putting up your hands to say, please put me on fast track still, although I'm going to do flexi for a while? And then it's also the boss to recognize that talent, to say, yes, although she's on flexi, don't put her on mummy track. Just keep her, retain her. And that's where, you know, the human capital comes in, talent management. So I think that's important.
I mean, you've been very lucky because you had a really enlightened boss, as you put it. But if you say it overall, how would you assess the standard of gender equality in the corporate world in Singapore today?
I think the policies are in place. It's how the specific companies actually implement these policies to enable women to succeed.
What sort of policies are we talking about?
So we're talking about flexi working hours, or even giving paternal leave, for example. A lot of people talk about positive affirmation. Actually, I would like to affirm the male, the gentleman who, you know, takes leave to look after their kids instead of always having to depend on mummy, because somehow it's always the mom that is the primary caregiver. Not only for the children these days, it's for the old folks as well.
Well, things are changing, right?
Yes.
I wouldn't mind being a house dad one day, actually. But anyway, look, I just want to get your thoughts also in how companies and, you know, even the government to a certain degree should approach this. I mean, all things being fair and equal, things should be based on merit, right? We shouldn't have to say, shouldn't have to get to a point where, oh, we need to have more of this gender or that gender in a job. So I just want to get your thoughts on quotas when it comes to gender, right? Employment in companies. I mean, do you advocate that? Because in some ways that also contradicts the idea of it being based on meritocracy.
Maybe we can step back a little, because Board Agenda did research with HCLI, and through our interviews, we've found that there are probably four philosophical positions that an individual or a board or company would take. So you've got someone who is a resistive denier. Oh no, there's no problem. There's no problem. No gender problem at all. And then you've got someone who says, he would be the passive onlooker. Yeah, there is a problem, but I think time will resolve it. So that's one and two. And then the third one would be meritocracy upholder. Oh, you know, everything has to be based on merit. We do things based on merit. And the fourth one would be a conscious champion. So there is a problem. I'm aware of it. Let's do something about it. So these four. And of the people that we interviewed, 29% of them are conscious or claim to be conscious champions. But, you know, it hasn't resulted in 29% of women on boards. So that's quite interesting, because I think a lot of us are probably meritocratic upholders and a bit of the passive onlooker as well, because we want to see what happens based on merit. But I think we need to do something about it sooner than later.
And why do you think there is a need for more women in leadership positions? Why is it important? And how can it change actually the sort of corporate culture?
Well, Board Agenda has always said that it's really a talent management issue and a human capital issue, especially in Singapore where, you know, we always say, oh, there's not enough people, not enough local talent, but really there are. So I don't think it's a supply issue. And when you do have good talent, they all congregate together. So you can see some local financial institutions, they have really great people working for them, and they happen to be women. So I've always said that it has to be a win-win. It doesn't mean that if there are more women in leadership positions, then the men also don't get the job. But we really need to harness the human capital, the talent of everybody.
Well, McKinsey 2018 report found that increasing female representation in top-paying jobs or high-growth industries could add more than $26 billion to Singapore's economy by 2025. Does this sound about right to you? $26 billion.
Sounds like a lot of money.
I think so. I think there is a lot of income loss if a female doesn't go to work. There's a lot of unpaid care that the women extend in terms of, you know, caring for the children, caring for the elders. And they could also be productive in the economy as well. So in Japan, you see a lot of unemployment is really just because the women are not working, right? And they would add a lot to fuel the economy. And of course, PM Abe, he's using that as well to try and fuel the Japanese economy.
Indeed. In fact, it's been one of the key reform agendas for Abenomics to get the women more engaged in the economy in Japan, to invigorate the economy there. You know, outside, I mean, obviously from your own experience, you answered this earlier and said, you know, there's no inequality when it comes to pay with the company you were working with before. But do you think that it is a problem here in Singapore that, you know, women are discriminated for in corporate positions, generally speaking, when it comes to, say, remuneration packages?
I believe there was a study in 2006, and the numbers haven't changed. So the gender pay gap is about 20% here in Singapore. So we are still lagging behind. It could be because we don't ask for it, or we just accept whatever that's given to us.
How would you address those who argue that men should get paid more and more likely to get promotion than women because they work harder, they put in more hours, because they don't take as much time off to tend to their family or children? What would you say to that?
Not true. No, because we work very hard as well. You know, men are not held to the suspicion that they cannot be good leaders, you know, simply because they are men. But women are held to really higher standards in leadership positions. We work twice as hard, three times as hard to get to where, you know, the men are. So I think it's not fair to say that.
Adam, do you agree?
Oh, totally agree.
Thank you,
totally. You know, I mean, out of the realm of what happens in the corporate world, then, I mean, when you look around the world and you see how many female leaders there are, you know, what sort of conclusions can we draw from, say, the political sphere where we do have women leaders? Let's say Angela Merkel in Germany, for instance. Should we also see more engagement on the political level by women and not just in the corporate boardrooms?
Yes, I think so. I think role modeling is important as well. So you have someone to look up to and really inspire to be. In fact, Angela probably exhibits male characteristics in that sense because of the boldness and how mature in terms of executing her policies. So it's something that both male and female can have. It's a trait. It's not really a gender thing.
And, you know, when you look at the corporate environment here in Singapore, you know, compared to, say, Japan and in the previous company you were working with, I don't know, are people more accepting here to have women in leadership positions compared to Japan, where, say, Shinzo Abe is working hard to get women more engaged in the labor workforce? I mean, from your experience working for a Japanese company, you know, what are the differences between these two countries and economies?
Well, my former colleagues in Tokyo, the female colleagues, have told me that it's more difficult in Japan for some reason. But I do see an opening, an awareness. I think there are really efforts being put in place to promote good female colleagues in my Japanese office to positions that maybe in the past they wouldn't have never been considered. So I do think that there is an improvement, probably over time. And because they're starting at a low level, maybe the trajectory will be, you know, quite steep.
I don't know if you guys have seen, but I was quite flabbergasted to hear of that recent Human Rights Watch report that showed China's tech firms like Baidu, Tencent, and Alibaba having using the blatant, you know, sexism to attract job candidates. They're promising, you know, beautiful co-workers and also advertising only for men. I mean, and these are prominent tech companies. What can you do to eradicate such, you know, traditional and deeply discriminatory views often held in corporations?
I think it is a bit worrying when we always have to go back to, you know, sexism and, you know, just to sell something. At one of the events recently, the ambassador for Norway actually said that she was quite unhappy that Lego is introducing pastel-coloured bricks, where in the past, it would just be, you know, the primary colours, solid colours.
Yep.
And she says it's not good because gender equality is a big thing there in Norway. And she didn't want it to go back to where there was a time where the females would play only with soft, cuddly toys. Mm. And then, you know, the boys would be brought up quite differently. She really wants to see something more equal.
But, you know, you look at what's happened with the hashtag MeToo movement, you know, that whole conversation has really thrown the gender equality gap into the open. And actually, Julie, you make a good point on these Chinese tech, you know, behemoths, but it's not just them. You know, there are also reports out that the American tech companies, Silicon Valley, not to the extent as the Chinese tech companies have been engaging in gender inequality or discrimination that way, but it exists. Mm-hmm. To what extent do you think the hashtag MeToo movement has helped bring this issue to the forefront and that things are going to change from now on?
Definitely because of the awareness. So in the past, things have happened. They probably are still happening. It's just that now people talk about it and there's no stigma because women tend not to talk about bad experiences. And now that more people are coming out to the fore to say, oh, this happened to me or that happened to me, there's this sisterhood, so to speak, of bonding. And I think it will also make the perpetrators stop and think.
Okay, we are going to leave it there for today's podcast. A big thank you to Junie Fu. Thank you so much for taking your time, Junie, to join Julie and I here today.
Thank you.
Junie is the chair and co-founder of Board Agenda. And if you like the podcast and all the other podcasts, please rate it and subscribe to it. And if you have any issues you'd like us to cover in future episodes, we're an open book, open door policy here. So you can always find Julie and I on Facebook and on Twitter. My handle's at Adam Bhaktia CNA.
Yeah, I'm Julie UCNA, or you can find me on Facebook too. And for comprehensive coverage of business news, catch us on Asia Business First, Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. Singapore, Hong Kong time on Channel News Asia. And I'm glad to say that it's quite obvious that both genders are represented here.
Yes, they are. Well, actually, perhaps it's a bit unbalanced today, right? Two women against me, the man, but I'm fine with that.
Thank you very much for listening. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye, all.
A world of wonder awaits at Nemacolin. The Grand Lodge will surprise and delight with 56 stunning suites and 5-star butler services. Indulge in libations at the Circle Bar and Study before you savor the new and enchanting Fawn and Fable restaurant, where the best parts of a traditional steakhouse and a fairy tale castle create a magical dining experience. With fine dining, a spa, and over 100 adventures, golf, art, and wildlife experiences, whatever your imagination holds, Nemacolin has the key. Visit nemacolin.com for more information.